and welcome to the Amongst Romans podcast, your window to everything Italy from an outsider's perspective. Join us each week as we navigate the Italian way of life and all the adventures that come along with it. So why do Italians love to talk about food so much?
I think it's because they like to eat a lot.
Yeah, but I just find it so strange. You guys talk about food all the time. It's not even like any particular conversation about food. Always like, what did you eat today? What about food? That always sneaks into the conversation. It always amazes me how much talking about food takes up of like any conversation.
I think it's just part of the culture. It's about family, about food, getting together, talking, eating, you know, that type of stuff.
So today we're going to be talking about food, not just about the actual dishes, but about, everything food related. So I thought I might give you a little quiz to see how good your knowledge of Italian food is. Are you ready?
Yep.
So did you know that UNESCO has 30 food-related rituals on its list of intangible cultural heritage of humanity list?
No, I didn't know that.
Now, how many of those do you think, or if any, relate to Italian food and Italian food culture?
I don't know, probably 90%?
No, but there's three. Tell me, what do you think of these? So one of the things is truffle hunting in Italy.
Yeah, well, truffle hunting is huge. Throughout Italy, it's pretty big. So, you know, especially in September, October, you'll see lots of black and white truffles available. And, obviously they're a lot more inexpensive than they would be back home.
Now, is truffle only like an Italian thing? No, there are other people must have that too, right?
I believe so, but it's actually a really big thing here in Italy with truffle hunting.
So the second one is not quite Italy related, but it's the Mediterranean diet. So that covers many different countries, including Italy.
Yeah, the Mediterranean diet is actually really popular because, you know, it's the key to longevity in life, and I think it was part of the whole Blue Zone conversation or articles that came out recently where Italy made that list quite a bit.
Do you think Italians call it the Mediterranean diet, or for them it's just food?
Yeah, I think it's just food for them. You know, it's a lot of healthy food. You know, it's all, you know, most of it's local. And obviously, you know, there's a lot of olive oil involved because, you know, it's available everywhere. So and everybody loves olive oil here in Italy. So, yeah.
Okay. So number three, the third one is Neapolitan pizzaiolo.
Not a surprise. pizza here in Italy, right? So it's always something that everyone craves for, a quick bite or just hang out with friends and grab a pizza and a beer. But yeah, I'm not surprised at all because pizza's totally different here in Italy and especially in this region.
Yeah, I would say, you know, as someone who thinks pizza is life, I totally agree. So then now let's segue into what's the most popular cuisine in the world?
I would say Italy is up there way up top. So, you know, it's probably Italian or possibly Asian.
You know what? You are very correct. So most of the places, Italian comes number one, Japanese comes number two, and quite often those two change. So it's between Italy and Japan for the most popular cuisine in the world.
I guess that's why we see so many Japanese restaurants in here in Italy, because I think outside of Italian food, I don't see a whole lot of other cuisines, freely available like Japanese food and sushi.
So now, the most popular dish, what do you think is the most popular dish in the world?
I would say pasta with tomato sauce.
That would be a good guess, but it's actually pizza.
Wow. Well, that would have been my second thought.
I would have thought it might be like a hamburger or something, but it's actually pizza. Pizza is number one most popular dish in the world.
Awesome.
You know, we grew up in Canada and we think of Italian food in certain ways. So people coming to Italy for the first time, they might expect to see certain dishes. Now, you and I have talked about it many times, but if you're coming to Italy for the first time, what are some of the dishes you will not find in Italy that you might associate with being Italian back home?
I think high up on the list is probably fettuccine Alfredo.
Yeah, definitely. That is something that I think is a staple for like restaurants in like North America, but it's nobody knows about it here. Actually, fettuccine Alfredo was invented in Rome, but it was actually butter and cheese, not the creamy version we know of. So yeah, that's definitely one you will not find in Italy. Can you think of some other one?
I would say spaghetti and meatballs, possibly.
Yep, that's another one that it doesn't exist here. So Italians eat meatballs, right? Like their version of a meatball.
Yeah, so it's not in the same plate, basically. It's, you know, you would have your first and then it's considered your second dish as partly, you know, part of Sunday dinner usually. So it's not that popular, but, you know, people do eat meatballs, but it's not slapped together with their pasta.
Yeah, so if you're thinking of Lady and the Tramp, this is not the place for it. I think another one that people might think is very Italian is, you know how you go to an Italian restaurant in like North America and you get bread and you get some olive oil and balsamic vinegar and you like dip your bread in it before dinner?
Yeah, they don't really do that here.
You know, do you remember when we were in Naples? There was a couple and there were tourists and I remember we were watching them because the guy was very like confused why they didn't give them the bread. They got the bread, but they were confused why they didn't have the olive oil and the vinegar. So they asked for it. And the waiter was very confused as to what they wanted to do with it. So anyway, they ended up bringing the condiments and the guy, you know, the usual thing we might be familiar with, put the olive oil and the vinegar in the plate and started dipping his bread. And do you remember like everyone stared?
Yeah, you get a lot of blank faces here if you ask for olive oil and vinegar with your bread. They only bring the vinegar and olive oil if you've actually ordered a salad. And most times it's already, you know, already tossed into the salad. So yeah, you may find that in the touristy areas, but not so much outside of the touristy areas.
Yeah, and I don't even think I recall anybody bringing... Oh, no, I think we were in Genoa one time, they brought the vinegar. Other than that, I don't think I've seen it.
Yeah, and I think we were in a more of a touristy area too, so...
So another one that I think probably is the most iconic dish people think about is chicken or veal parmigiana, right?
Chicken and veal parmesan isn't actually a thing here. You know, I was actually surprised myself when I looked at some of the menu items and never saw a chicken or veal parmesan. It's usually a breaded chicken cutlet or something like that, but never like, you know, what you would see back home. And instead, they actually do eggplant parmesan, which is, you know, a popular dish here. But yeah, you don't see chicken or veal. And I think what we're used to back home was probably due to the fact that a lot of the immigrants weren't able to find, you know, fresh produce like they did back home. So they would use meat, and meat was actually freely available when they, when they went to the West.
Yeah, and I think the eggplant here is done differently, right? They call it melanzana alla parmigiana.
That's correct, yes. They actually flour it, fry it, and then bake it with, you know, tomato sauce and parmesan.
Yeah, and it's actually quite delicious. As someone who does not like eggplant too much, I can say this is actually very good. So let's end this with one more dish that you might think to find in Italy, which is not even Italian, and it's Caesar salad.
Yeah, Caesar salad is also not a thing here. I love Caesar salad, especially if you know, it's made from scratch, but you will not find it on the menu here. You know, the only salads you'll really see is just the vinaigrette. You know, you'll have olive oil, salt, and balsamic vinegar, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, the Italians are not hugely into salads, eh? Like, it's very sort of plain and simple and not really the type of salads that we might be familiar with in North America. So Caesar salad was actually created by an Italian-American chef in Mexico. So that's probably why you won't find it here. And we tried to recreate it here, which was not too bad. The only problem we had was finding the croutons, because they don't really have croutons here. We had to get like, I think we had to make our own, didn't we?
Yeah, out of a bit of a stale bread and just, you know, cut it up and toast it and season it. So it's actually pretty simple. It makes croutons, but yeah, you won't find it readily available at the store.
If you like to learn about additional dishes that you might think are Italian but actually aren't, we'll drop a link in the show notes with a blog post with more information. What are some of the Italian foods that you think people might not be familiar with in North America? The type of foods that, like, you know, are so essential here in Italy?
Yeah, many of them that aren't as popular, at least not until recently. You know, you don't see a whole lot of zucchini flowers outside of, you know, posh farmers markets back home. Burrata is, I guess, has started to gain popularity, but was not a thing for quite a while, and you don't find too often back home. And chestnuts, I've actually run into several occasions where, you know, it would be chestnut season, they would import some from Italy or other European countries, and I'd be at the supermarket and, you know, they would ask me, what is that? You know, how do you cook them? How do you eat them? And I'd have to explain on a couple occasions how to do that to people that were shopping around.
I'm not surprised, because I have never had chestnuts until I met you.
Well, you used to use it for kindergarten arts and crafts.
To be fair, there are two types of chestnuts, and the ones that, you know, people are mostly familiar with, not in Italy, are the ones that are not edible. So probably that's why we didn't eat them. But chestnuts here are very big. They have chestnut festivals. You can go and watch them roast them, and they make all kinds of different dishes with chestnuts, which again is a very Italian thing. And I think it's a taste that's acquired. You might not love chestnuts right from the beginning, but I think it's a flavor that sort of you have to find it done well. And to be fair, it's not for everyone, but I happen to like it, and I know you like it as well, right?
I grew up on them, so I love having chestnuts, especially during the colder months, you know, which is when we see them in the stores back home. But I was actually surprised to see all these chestnut festivals here. It's actually a pretty big thing, especially during that season. And, you know, seeing all the different types of dishes that they make with chestnuts, you know, soups, purees, pastas, et cetera, et cetera. So it's actually pretty cool.
And we're actually lucky, because we have chestnuts growing around our town. So you can actually walk. There's a couple of roads where, like, you can walk and the chestnuts fall. So you can actually grab some, and they're edible. They're the edible kind. So if you want to just go for a walk and find some chestnuts, you can bring them home and then roast them. And it's quite nice to have that option.
Yeah, the area is really popular for, you know, growing chestnuts. So it's it's been here for as long as I can remember. Being known as an area where, you know, they grow.
So let's just go back to the zucchini flowers, because I think that's another thing I've never had until I met you. And if someone doesn't know what zucchini flowers are, can you give us a brief overview? I mean, it's probably what you think it is. And go ahead, explain what zucchini flowers are.
Yeah, so basically it's a zucchini where when you look at a zucchini grow at the end, there's actually a small flower that grows off the top of it. So, you know, back home when I was younger, it was very difficult to find, but there were areas where there would be Italian farmers back home. So in Toronto, they're, you know, outside of the city, you would find farmers markets. They would sell their foods that they produce at their own store. And you'd actually buy the zucchini flowers in a small basket, which, you know, no one really bought. No one even thought to buy something like that and know what to do with them. But it's actually a really popular, I guess, side dish. Basically, it's made with some flour, yeast, some water. You let it sit for a little while so that, you know, the yeast does its job, and you just dip the flowers and fry them.
So there's also other versions of this, right? You can stuff the zucchini flowers with different things.
Yeah, so you can, you know, stuff it with some cheeses, mozzarella. I've seen, you know, bocconcini in there, and even, you know, some anchovies with the cheese. It's actually really, really good.
So if someone's looking to have zucchini flowers, what's the name of the flower? What's the dish called that they should be looking for?
Yeah, so it would actually be called fiori di zucche.
Yeah, and you can find it in most restaurants. I think that's a common dish across Italy, not just to a particular region, no?
No, yeah, it's more popular, obviously, down south. But you will find it when it's in season up north, too. So it's a pretty popular dish.
Yeah, and you can make them differently. I know you make them quite good. And if you want to try different versions, you might find them in the store. Sorry, you might find them in different restaurants. But the most simple version is just deep fried zucchini flour dipped in some batter, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Now, let's go on to burrata, because I don't think many people would know what burrata is. We have seen burrata more so in Toronto in the last little while, but it was very expensive. I think a piece of burrata, which we'll go into how it looks, was about, what, $9 or something like that? Whereas here, it's like maybe 3-4 euros at the most.
Yeah, and that was a while ago. And if you're lucky enough to find it, we came across it on a couple occasions. But, Costco sometimes would carry it, but, you know, not always. But, yeah, I wasn't even aware of burrata. I was only, you know, familiar with, you know, bocconcini, even bufala cheese. But last decade or so, after visiting Italy, you know, so many times, I came across the burrata and love it.
So now, if somebody doesn't know what burrata is, can you explain to them what type of cheese it is?
Well, it's basically a very creamy version of bocconcini cheese almost. It has a thicker outer layer, but the inside is actually almost like a stracciata, which is, you know, almost like a shredded liquidy creamy cheese, and it's actually amazing. Once you cut into it, you know, you see it just come out, and just sop it up with some bread.
Yeah, and I think burrata comes in different sizes, but the standard one is about like can probably fit in your hand, and then you cut it in half, and then that cheesy goodness just spills out of it, and you can add it or just dip your bread in it. You can put it like as a sandwich. You can put it in pastas and different other dishes. And yeah, I think it's delicious. And if you are ever in Italy and you have a chance to try the burrata, go for it. It's really good.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And, you know, I enjoy it on pizza too when you find it. But, you know, you can put it on pastas, even risottos. I've seen it.
So one of the things to us in North America we think is such a quintessential Italian thing is making tomato sauce, no?
Yeah, it's still kind of popular somewhat here, but back home, making tomato sauce was a huge yearly ritual, right? So, you know, back when I was younger, it was a lot more difficult to find good passata, which is, you know, strained tomatoes, ready to be cooked. But, you know, up until recently, you weren't able to find the, you know, the good Italian or good quality, even local sauces. So you would, you know, most Italians would make it themselves. They would buy bushels of Romano tomatoes and, you know, may spend the weekend of making tomato sauce, jarring tomato sauce.
Yeah, and I still haven't seen anyone do this here. I know I asked your cousin, he said people still do it, but it's not what you might have envisioned in your head, like a driveway filled with pots and like different bushels and people just making tomato sauce. And I think it's actually not so common anymore because I think it's just easier for people to go and buy tomato sauce, no?
Yeah, it was born out of necessity back in the day, right? So a little, you know, ingenuity and not having any availability would have you making stuff on your own. So, yeah.
So if people are not making tomato sauce, they're making other things, right? So we have friends who make their own stuff. Mostly that's sausages and wine.
Yeah, especially sausages down in the southern area of Italy and even some of the north. People love to make their own cured meats, you know, sausages, fresh ones, cured, whatever. You know, they come in so many varieties. I know a friend of ours makes liver sausages, which are amazing. You would think, you know, liver as a sausage, like, ew, that's kind of gross, but it's fantastic. Like they, you know, they have it down to a next level artisan handiwork.
Well, as I don't eat meat, I will take your word for it. And if you guys are into the sausages, they're pretty good here, apparently. So another thing that people make, which we have actually tried, is wine.
Yeah, local wine is huge. There's just a lot of people with land here in the south, right? So they you know, they have huge plots of land, and they'll grow their own grapes, and you know, they'll pick their own grapes right off their own land and make wine. You know, they'll make it sometimes for themselves and friends, or you know, if they have enough, they'll actually sell it to smaller local shops and stores, you know, and even to locals in the community.
Yeah, and I think we've got some homemade wine shared with us, and we got both red and white, so it's not just one that they usually make. But there's a tiny store in our town, and they sell homemade wine there too, don't they?
Yeah, they actually have jugs of homemade wine available, and it's, you know, super inexpensive, and it can be hit or miss. I guess it depends on your taste. You know, I enjoy a fuller bodied, kind of higher percentage alcohol, red wine. But, you know, the local wine here is Aglianico, which is very popular in this area. And, it's a drier red, but you can find some great bottles in the area. But, you know, it's not my first pick, but it's a very good wine.
Now, do you think the store, do they make it themselves or do they get it off someone else who makes it?
It could be both. You know, sometimes the store's, you know, it's a small family run shop and they probably have some land and, you know, cultivate and make their own wine right off their land and sell in their store. But there, you know, there are times where there's a larger wine producer or, you know, someone who owns a larger vineyard, and you know, they'll have some extra grapes and mix some wine for themselves instead of selling it to the larger producers like you know, Mastro Berrettino wines or other large producers in the area.
Let's talk about the diversity of Italian food, because I think most people think it's just like your pasta with tomato sauce, you know, pizza and risotto, occasional seafood. Once you come to Italy and you realize just how diverse those offerings are. I've never realized you can make pasta with so many different sauces, different additions. And once you go past that, there's so many different pastas, no?
Yeah, you don't only see tomato sauce with your pasta. There's different sauces that they've come up with. You know, there's I've seen zucchini pasta, which is fantastic. I've seen squash based sauces. Yeah, they come in a wide variety, and they're all great.
Yeah, and I think once you come to Italy, you'll realize that, you know, Italian food can very, very, you know, can be very different, let's say in Milan and like in anywhere in the north. And then as you go further south, you can have very different dishes that don't exist in other parts of Italy because they are so associated with the area that, you know, they come from. So the more south you go, you get more seafood, you get more citrus, more sort of those type of flavors, whereas up north, it's a lot more meat oriented and it's a lot more you see more mushrooms, you see more different meats, which I can't really talk about because I don't eat meat, but you'll find a lot more like meaty dishes the further north you go. However, one of my favorite dishes up till now was when we were in Venice and we had the squid ink pasta.
Yeah, that was actually really good. You know, and we didn't see that very often.
I looked it up and I think it's mostly associated with Venice. Like it's a dish up there. It's not so much something that you see like where we live. It's not a dish that I've seen a lot on the menus. But again, squid ink pasta or squid ink risotto is, in my opinion, very good. Do you have any favorites?
Yeah, of course. I have, you know, aside from my usual favorite is, you know, I like the plain old tomato sauce based pastas. But yeah, you know, there's even various varieties of tomato sauce. You know, there's the little ciliegine, which are the cherry tomatoes, and dadarino, which are also a different shape and flavor. And obviously, there's also the yellow ciliegine tomato sauce, which are yellow cherry tomatoes. But outside of that, you know, I enjoy the zucchini pasta, which we've actually been making quite often. And thanks to Stanley Tucci's, you know, series of shows that were available. And yeah.
Another thing I found a bit surprising about Italian food is a mix of carbs. So you'll have like pasta, but you also have pasta with potato or pasta with, I don't know if it's rice, but in Naples, there was this dish I had. It was like a stew almost with like seafood, potato. And do you remember that one? I don't remember what else was in there, but it was like a very thick sort of hearty dish that was delicious. And I've never seen such a thing outside of Italy.
Yeah, Italians make various vegetable-based dishes too. You know, I do remember when I was growing up, my mom would always make some interesting dishes with just, you know, potatoes, green beans, and, you know, zucchini with peppers. So it's actually, you know, very popular, especially down south. It's not always just, you know, pizza and pasta dishes. You know, they kind of mix it up, and there's a lot of variety.
Now, you forgot to mention the thing you make all the time, which is the pasta with the eggplant and the fish in it.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite dishes here. It's almost like our weekly indulgence. It's basically tomato sauce with swordfish. So how I'll make it is I'll get some fresh swordfish and, you know, cut it up. And then I'll saute it with some garlic. A little bit of white wine sauce, then separate it, make a tomato sauce base. And while I'm doing that, I'll chop up some fresh eggplant, fry it. We actually use an air fryer, so it's actually quicker and a little healthier for us. But and then I'll mix it in with the tomato sauce, add the swordfish also afterwards, just to cook it through a little bit with the tomato sauce, and then I'll usually use, you know, larger pasta. So I prefer the you know, the fresh paccheri, which is basically like a large, I don't know, almost like a ring size pasta, like a large, it looks like a large ring. So yeah, and we enjoy that dish quite a bit.
So you use eggplant quite a bit. There's another dish you make with that smoky cheese.
Yeah, it's smoked scamorza. And it's actually a fantastic dish too. So we'll, you know, I'll get some fresh potatoes, chop that up, and then get a sprig of fresh rosemary and throw it in with some garlic, let it cook through with a little bit of vegetable broth. And then what I'll do is as I boil the water, I'll throw in some fresh cherry tomatoes and peel them, chop them up, throw it in, and then cook the pasta and throw it in with the pasta. And at the end, I would add the smoky cheese, grate in some of that smoky cheese, and it's called pasta e patate.
See, that to me is weird. Pasta and potato, and you would not think that this would be good, but it actually is quite interesting. Just as, remember when we were here a couple years ago and your aunt made that chickpea pasta, which basically is like tomato sauce with chickpeas in it, and you put it on top of pasta, which was the most bizarre thing to me. But I love it. It tastes really good. But again, it's not something that you would think of about putting chickpeas into the tomato sauce and putting it on top of pasta.
Yeah, there's a lot of popular Italian dishes with legumes and different types of beans added to the pasta and sauces. And I guess that's how we get our fiber and vegetable intake, right?
Yeah, and I think, again, once you look at it from different perspective, there's so many Italian dishes that you don't know outside of Italy, and they are quite fantastic to explore. So if you're ever traveling through Italy and you go to a restaurant, you know, don't always go for the obvious. Try to ask for like a local specialty or ask what they recommend, and you might find yourself surprised by the different flavors and the different the creativity behind it. We were in Sicily this summer, and one of my favorite dishes was pasta with lemon and pistachio flavors in it, which would not be something I would have put together.
Yeah, we were in Sicily. I enjoyed that pasta dish with sardines and tomato sauce with it was dried raisins and some other, you know, some other spices, and it's pasta alla sarda. It was fantastic. Yeah, the supermarkets in Italy are actually an interesting experience. Many of them actually remind me of the high-end stores you'll find in Toronto, like Pusateri's. It's like walking into a boutique store each time. You have all these cool Italian ingredients. Produce, like everything is available that you would find at a Pusateri's, for example, and at a fraction of a cost, obviously. But yeah, it's quite an experience.
You know what I noticed in the Italian stores that are very different from Canada is the eggs are not in the fridge. I think that's a European thing, but you can find your eggs not in the fridge. Same with milk. You can get milk that's not in the fridge. Which in Canada, it's always refrigerated. And the third, this doesn't happen as much anymore, but before, if you went to get, let's say, some vegetables or fruit, there'll be a person who would bag it for you and weigh it for you. They don't do that much anymore, only certain places. So now you can just go in, like, you know, you'll take your pears or your apples or whatever, you put them in a bag and then you put them on a scale and then you put in the number for whatever it is. And, you know, the little tag pops out and you put on the bag and that's it. But in the past, they used to have a person who would do it for you. And I'm not sure if that changed because of COVID. But do you remember when we were in 2018, we would go to a store and like you tell them what you want and they'll bag it for you?
Yeah, back then you would find a lot more grocery stores that provided that service. But yeah, due to COVID, I think that changed. And also the fact that, you know, the cost cutting came into effect where, you know, that required an extra worker to be standing around and weighing people's groceries. But, you know, I prefer doing it myself because you can actually see how much you're purchasing. And if it's, you know, if you think it's too much, then you can always make an adjustment and, you know, get a little more or a little less.
Yeah, and I think the only place you can really have them do it for you is the market. Although now they just give you the bag often too, and it just you put in yourself and you give it to them as opposed to them putting the produce in the bag and then weighing it, no?
That's correct. Yeah, they just hand you a bag, you pick what you want, and you just hand it over to them, and they'll weigh it for you in front of you. Before they would actually do it for you, but there are some fruit and vegetable vendors that still do that, and I think that's that's the smaller trucks that go through the towns.
Okay, now let's talk about the markets, which are happening weekly or sometimes twice a week in every town. Now, our town is too small for a market, so we go to a bigger town beside us. And I know you love shopping at the market because I do too.
Yeah, it's always an enjoyable experience. I like being able to see all the seasonal produce and what's available at that time. And yeah.
So how would you compare the farmers markets here versus those in Canada?
Yeah, there is a big difference, aside from the huge cost difference. Obviously the produce is a lot fresher. Everything is local, obviously, in comparison to back home. Obviously you'll still have the odd seasonal items, but most of the stuff is trucked in.
Yeah, and if you go sort of closer to when the market is closing, you can get some really good deals because I think the vendors are trying to get rid of their stuff. So sometimes you'll get some free oranges, or they'll throw a bunch of like some greenery just so they're getting rid of things. So if you're looking for some bargains at an already discounted market, then you can definitely go closer to the end and you might be able to get some additional things thrown in for free. However, keep in mind that if you go towards the end of the market, you might not have as much of a selection because everything will be gone by the time you get there.
Yeah, it's a good and bad to that, right? It's always good to see them throwing the little extras at the end, which is shocking. You're not used to that anywhere else, but here, especially in the smaller markets, they'll throw some extra stuff. You'll say you want some herbs or an extra lemon. It's like, hey, here you go.
So now, for the people like us who live in a smaller town and we don't have a market, we do have a guy that comes by. Actually, there's more than one guy. They come and they sell fruits and vegetables out of their trucks. So there's a guy that comes to our town. I think he comes Monday and Wednesday, and he kind of parks outside our house, so we can get our vegetables and fruit from him when he comes. And that, to me, is the most bizarre thing in the world.
Yeah, they blast over the megaphone what they've got available, prices, any specials, and kind of sit in the at some roundabout or a corner on the main street, and play some music for a little while, hang around, and slowly people gather around and purchase their produce for the day or the week.
Yeah, and I learned about this practice the first time we came to Italy. So I had no idea that this was a thing. So we just got to Italy. I think we were still like tired, exhausted from getting here. And I'm sleeping, and all of a sudden I hear this voice yelling through the megaphone. And you have this kind of like a siren sound, like when you watch movies and there is like there's bombs gonna be coming, or there's like an alert for like you should seek cover. There's that siren going on and a guy yelling through the megaphone. Now, at the time, I don't speak Italian. I don't understand what's happening, and I've just been woken up. I thought we were gonna be under attack. That was the most terrifying thing ever in my life because I was like, what the heck is going on? And it turned out to be a guy selling fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, they're a little less dramatic with their specials nowadays, but back then, they did like yelling through that megaphone and getting everybody's attention.
Yeah, I think now they just play some kind of dance music and as they sit there. Although there is a guy that comes by, there's a different guy than the guy who sells the fruit. He comes, I think, Saturdays, and he's kind of still yells like, I think that it's, he's a tomato guy, so he'll have like tomatoes or whatever for €5 or like a bushel or whatever, and like he just drives through town like you're supposed to chase him or something. I have no idea.
Yeah, there's still some old school gents driving those trucks, so and they're used to the old customs of yelling through that megaphone.
Okay, so let's talk about things that we're used to, but we are having a hard time finding here.
Yeah, you'll definitely find some difficulty finding various herbs and spices. So, you know, we love cilantro in our stir fries and Asian dishes, but it's really not a very popular herb here. You know, we've been to markets where they actually have stands for herbs, fresh herbs that you want to plant back home or in the garden. And we constantly ask for cilantro and it's never available. There's the odd, you know, the odd time where they say, okay, we can have some for you, but it's almost like, you know, it's a special order down here.
Yeah. And I find the same thing with dill. They don't have dill. They don't have cumin either. Cumin was very difficult to find. I had to bring some when I went back to Toronto in the summertime. And actually, I brought with me cilantro seeds. So we'll hopefully try to grow it because, yeah, we can't find cilantro, we can't find dill, and we can't find cumin, which is very interesting, but it's not an Italian thing. So there is none of that. Maybe in the bigger towns, the bigger cities, like maybe Rome or, you know, Milan, you'll find some of that. But where we are, nope, nothing.
Yeah, there's still that mentality, you know, of Italian food is the best. And, you know, I don't blame them protecting their, you know, their way of life, kind of. So, but obviously, you know, things have changed over the last couple decades. We have seen some Asian influences, restaurants. We see some stores here and there. We've come across some stores that carry non-Italian produce and ingredients. So, you know, there is that availability, but it's a lot harder to come by.
Yeah, I think anything that's not fully used in Italian kitchen is not going to be easily found. Again, maybe where we live, it's not as big of an option. But yeah, if you try to make non-Italian foods, it might be a bit more difficult. We had a hard time finding jasmine rice. We had a hard time finding hoisin sauce, which I had to bring back from Canada. We couldn't get any taco seasoning, which we had a friend bring. So, you know, it's a bit of an adjustment. And, you know, Italian food is great. However, we're used to eating different types of food. So I think every now and then you have that yearning for, you know, for that food or that one that is not really available here. And another one of those things that they don't really have a lot here, which sometimes like I really crave, is lobster and crab.
Yeah, that's also something you don't find very often at the supermarkets. You know, we have come across, you know, for example, frozen lobster. Actually, this past weekend, I saw it at one of the local supermarkets, Famila, that they actually had some lobster available. You know, pricing is kind of in line to what you would pay back home also, which isn't too bad. But, you know, if it's not local, or found within the region or surrounding areas, you won't find it at the supermarkets very often.
Yeah, and even when it comes to like different fruits, I don't see it that much. So for example, strawberries and raspberries, they do have them, but it's not like back home in Canada, you could go and get, especially like, you know, when it's the season, you can get a basket of strawberries or you can get like a big trays of raspberries. Here they have, some grocery stores will have like little small tins of like strawberry or raspberry, but they're very expensive and you don't you don't see them very often, which is slightly disappointing because I do like to eat strawberries and raspberries and I expected to see a bit more of them, but you know, you can still have some, you can still find them if you look for them, but they're not as abundant as I thought they would be.
Yeah, I think that goes back to the local produce thing where, you know, if it's not readily available or if there's a bad season, you'll find prices are much higher, or you know, you'll find that it's and the lack of availability. So, yeah.
Yeah, and another thing that I had always a hard time here in Italy is tea. Italians don't know how to do tea well. They have a lot of herbal teas, but I think here in Italy, tea is seen more of like a remedy, you know? Like it's not something you really consume for enjoyment. Like you would have, you know, your tea with milk and whatever. Here it's more of like herbal teas for like what ails you, you know?
Yeah, that's always been the thing with Italians, right? It's if it doesn't help you, it's not really worth taking. So you'll find, you know, anything herbal is always going to be for, say, upset stomach or sleep issues or headaches or something like that. It's not really, you know, taken as something to enjoy. It's really just a coffee culture here. It's not so much a tea culture.
Yeah, and as somebody who's more of a tea person, I must say I had a hard time with this in the past. However, over time, I've been able to find really good black tea. It's not something you find in every single store, but I've managed to find a couple of stores that have like a really good quality black tea that I can have in the morning with my oat milk, and it's fantastic. Like that makes me so happy because like, to me, that's part of my morning ritual. So yeah, Italy has improved in that aspect for me because I was, in the past, I think I've brought my tea before with me when I came to visit. I found that now I don't have to obviously bring tea anymore because I can find it here, which is quite a relief.
Let's talk about some of the rules and regulations in relation to, you know, the way food's made, grown, for, you know, produce and meats, etc. So there is obviously much of the EU where GMO is not allowed to grow crops. You'll find that, you know, that's not used anywhere, at least legally. So, you know, obviously that if anyone's caught using GMO seed, there would be huge repercussions for that. But you know, many people, when they bring up Italian food, they always say, oh, artisanal, but really it just is part of the Italian culture. You know, artisanal only came up recently. So, you know, that whole subject of artisanal cheese making, pasta making, etc. Back in the day, it wasn't considered artisanal. It's just the way it was made.
Yeah, and I think Italy is very progressive in that aspect. I think I read somewhere recently that they made it illegal to add, I think it's, you can't really add like, not preservative, but artificial things into your food. So maybe some artificial sweeteners or artificial additives, you are not able to add those to the food. That's why when you come to Italy, you'll find that the food here, the quality is different and it tastes different. So a lot of it has to do obviously with the soil, but also because of the way they look at things and the way they make things. So there is a certain way or certain, let's say things like Parmigiano cheese, the Modena vinegar, and I think the pizza in Italy, in Naples, there are certain ways of making it, and there's actually like, what do you call it, like a certification that says, you know, this is the official original one of those, no?
Yeah, correct. It's, you know, I think the abbreviations are IGP, DOP, etc. So, you know, for example, you know, wine making, if you see a DOC on the label itself, it's considered, you know, from a single vineyard. It's not a mix of grapes from various vineyards to make that wine. Similar to Parmesan cheese, you know, if it's a certified Parmesan cheese, it can only be considered Reggiano cheese if it's made a certain way from certain milk in a certain region, right? So there's certifications for a lot of the foods out there.
Another thing about Italy that I found very progressive over time is the availability of non meat products. So if you're a vegan or a vegetarian, a few years ago, there wasn't that much of a variety. Whereas now, you can go to the grocery store and they have vegan sausages, vegan cheeses, a lot more like vegan vegetable friendly options. And if you're a wine drinker, we were looking this up because most wine, or not most, but a lot of times wine is not technically vegan, because they often run it through like anything from fish scales to animal fats, and that is to purify the wine. So out of curiosity, we were looking this up, and most of the wines in Italy are vegan friendly, which again speaks to the way they make things and the quality, the emphasis they put on quality of their products, including wine.
Yeah, they, you know, say what you will, there is some progression in the Italian culture. So, you know, they are not always stuck in their ways of making things. So, you know, they're willing to progress and find new ways to produce their foods.
Yeah. So if you're getting hungry like we are, this is probably the best episode to listen to after you've ate. With that, I think I'm getting hungry. How about you?
Yes, I am. I think it's time for some pasta with some tomato sauce.
Okay, so we'll leave you at that and we'll catch you again next time. And this brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and review on whatever you're listening right now. We'll be back next week, so stay tuned.